And welcome, everybody, to episode 394 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself, fresh off of the Hedonism Boy on Boy Cruise. What's up, gents? How you doing, Mug? You there, Mug?
Anybody? I'm not sure that I'm not sure how you get boy cruise after having out of having to prepare for a fucking unwanted family visit.
Well, you know, it's almost the same. It's just as torturous, right? I mean,
well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, the boy for the boys maybe. And for me, it's usually fun.
There you go, man. Big week this week, E3. Bunch of news. We're gonna get right to the news in just a second here. We were discussing off air, E3 to me, like seeing the coverage and everything that I've seen, I felt Sony was strong, Microsoft was okay, Nintendo was almost non-existent, but I honestly think that E3 is just a matter of time before there's no E3. I don't know, what do you guys think?
See, you're stupid, because E3 is not for us.
Frank's also stupid because he's forgetting all the smaller developers that were there, like Natsume with Wild Guns Reloaded and
Sekai
Project.
I think we can sum up this entire discussion. Wait, break. I think we can sum up this entire thing by just saying Frank is stupid. End of discussion.
I think right. You all are stupid.
The point of E3, Frank, is for developers and all the publishers to sell their wares.
Right.
Not
right.
To us.
I mean, it really
sell
is about
their wares to Walmart, to Best Buy,
so
to Amazon.
My point is every bit is valid. You guys are stupid. I mean, you're not seeing the big picture. I understand
if
that.
If you want a gaming expo for gamers, go either to PAX or one of the other smaller ones.
I get it. That's not what I'm talking about, Eric. I'm saying E3.
You remember E3 ended before, and everyone was unhappy about it, Frank.
I understand that.
Right,
but
let Frank get his point out.
Look.
Okay, I'm sorry.
E3 is what you guys said. It's for people to sell their game, right? And it got so far away from that, and it hasn't been able to kind of get back to that point. My point is this. E3... to me, is definitely on the downslope. Like, there's no getting it back to its former glory. Like, in my view, it's going to move more towards, like, what Nintendo does with its Directs. Sony's going to have their own thing. Microsoft's going to have their own thing. And E3 is just going to be a thing of the past. That's my opinion. I think it's going to take a few years to do that. But honestly, if you look at E3 back when it first started till now, I mean, it's almost a shell of itself, man. There's not a lot going on there. Like
careful, man. Careful, man. Your crotchety is showing.
Yeah, whatever.
No shit.
I love E3.
A minute later, he's going to be yelling, some kid, get off his lawn.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Sure there's no kid even there.
No, look. I love E3. Like, I think that used to be the place. But like I said, there's other avenues for people to announce their games. Like, it's not even...
Oh, yeah. There's absolutely a ton of avenues. But there's still developers like EA and Ubisoft and Bethesda who use this as like their big show, you know. And those
I get
are
it.
Big
well, it's
developers.
Like, it's we're talking about like the AAA developers, and they have their own set of problems. I mean, yeah. And honestly, I don't know about you guys, but I'm paying less and less attention to the AAA developers, except for when they. On the off chance that they announce something that I might be interested
totally
in. I mean,
agree
I'll
with that.
You know, I'll pay like kind of a pass. You know, I'll pay like casual attention. I'll say like, oh, let's check this out, or well, let's, you know, that might be interesting. And
see,
sometimes something will catch my eye, but that's about the extent of it.
Right, I agree.
Yeah,
most
of the time it's sequels for me. Like, ooh, what's the next Halo game? Like, yeah.
I'm still I'm just disappointed there's no new Infamous, but that's me.
Yeah, Infamous is a good game. Those games are pretty good.
I guys, thought for a split second they were going to announce a new Infamous game. I forgot what they announced instead, but
yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, according to Sucker Punch's website, hasn't been updated since First Light was released.
Wow.
So I don't know if they're doing much of anything. I mean, I would hope so.
Wow, it sounds like they might be in trouble then.
I think they might be doing the new Insomniac Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think that's
Insomniac and Sucker Punch are two different development studios.
Let's get.
I was curious, but the announcement of a new Spider-Man intrigues me just because I always hope for a Spider-Man to be as much fun as Spider-Man 2 was on the PS2 and Xbox.
Well, that announcement
that was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Except for having to save the little girl's balloons every once in a while.
Yeah. Although you could ignore those.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
All right, guys, let's get started with the news. We got so much news.
You fucking get your own thing. And I'm calling you a bitch because
you climb up to the outside of the 72nd floor of this building and get your damn balloon.
I am misogynistic Spider-Man.
Yeah. All right, let's get started with the news.
Got a big M on its shirt.
Spider patriarchy.
Yeah. we got to start with the news, otherwise we're not going to get through all that. Eric, please.
Okay, from Silicon Arrow, we've got Shishi Origins 3. I'm not even going to bother reading headlines because chances are, King and his Oracle work together to save their king from destruction in Shishi Origins 3, RPG starring cute characters and enemies. Yeah, they look like little puffballs.
Yeah, it looks kind of cool. They sort of look like South Park characters in a way.
No.
Yeah. I think they do.
Nothing like them.
I think they do. But it looks interesting. All right, let's move on. Breakman, please.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Sekai Project to release physical versions of visual novels and Japanese indie games. Sekai Project has announced a partnership with Limited Run Games, publishers of physical PS4 and PS Vita copies of indie games, stating that they will be releasing limited physical runs of some of their visual novels and Japanese indie games. And, Sekai Project will be assisted in the porting process by Mighty Rabbit Studios, developers of Breach and Clear. And, there's an English PC release, that's it.
I think some of their first games will be visual novels, but they'll probably branch out. I do know that they're bringing Rabbi Ribby to the PS4 as well, which is a Metroidvania cute 'em up type of game.
All right. Mug, next story, please.
All right. Coming to us live from the site, which has already been named twice and which should not be named again. Developer Concerned Ape announced that they're bringing their indie farming.
It's like Beetlejuice. Like if you say it a third time, like they're going to appear.
Yeah, probably. But Concerned Ape announced that they're bringing their indie farming simulator game Stardew Valley to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Wii U in quarter 4, 2016, with the help of Chucklefish Games and Sickhead Games. Interesting names. Stardew Valley will be available on all three consoles in time for the winter holidays. The blog post mentions that at the current. Yeah, it doesn't say that, but rudimentary controller support in the PC version is far from ideal, and it'll need to be adjusted prior to the launch. The Wii U version will feature a second screen using the Wii U gamepad. Mac and Linux versions of the game are still in the works and should be ready very soon. The multiplayer and version 1.1 updates are still in the works, and more will be revealed in the near future.
Yay, Stardew Valley.
I like the name Concerned Ape.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to the next story.
All right, I'm reading the next story, Frank. Coming to us live from Gamatsu, South Park, The Fractured But Whole, launches December 6th.
I'm excited for.
Yes.
Yes, I'm very, 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 very excited for this game. Anyone who purchased South Park, The Fractured But Whole before March 31st, 2017, will receive South Park, The Stick of Truth, for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, or PC, free of charge. If you haven't played that game, why?
Maybe you'll have a better frame rate this time.
Presumably.
The 360 version had a great frame rate. The
PS3 version, it wasn't the frame rate that was bad. It was that when you would switch things, like anytime it saved, you would get hiccups.
There was only one glitch that I ever that I encountered during the game, and that happened on the UFO, and I can't remember what that glitch was. Anyway, pre-orders will include Tally, your gaming bud, as an in-game assistant. He'll provide unique assistance to players at key locations throughout the game.
I hope the gameplay's improved because the quick time event Mario and Luigi-ness of the game was kind of off.
They've actually changed the gameplay. It's now on you can move your characters around kind of on a grid style.
It was still when they did the trailer, they actually did a presentation showing off some of the gameplay changes, and it's more, it's a little more, I don't know. I mean, it's still not going to be super, advanced, but it's a little more technical than it was.
Yeah.
Like,
it's still an RPG. It's still an RPG realm. And,
yeah. They're not turning into like a superhero beat 'em up or anything. It's still a turn based RPG, but it's more, like positioning now matters.
More like Radiant Historia.
Yeah.
And what I saw is they're going to have, if you've played the Trails in the Sky games or Final Fantasy X, it's going to have a tiered thing, and there will be an ability, instead of having your farts as superpowers, your farts can now alter time, which can mess with half the order of attacks, that kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Sounds like Radiant Story.
There are going to be multiple editions of this game. There's a standard edition, which you get the game, the season pass, a set of game costumes and bonus perks to get fans started, and Tally Your Gaming Bud. Steelbook Gold Edition, all of the content of the Gold Edition, a Steelbook case. I guess that sounds like the Gold Edition of the game, not the Standard Edition, because I don't think the Standard Edition would include the Tally Gaming Bud. I think Gamatsu messed this article up a little bit.
I think the Gaming Bud was a pre-order bonus, but you also get it if you get the Gold Edition or whatever.
Right, and it looks like they skipped Gold Edition because they have Standard Edition and then Steelbox Gold Edition. Looks like they forgot to put the Gold Edition in there. Anyway, Steelbox Gold Edition, all the content of the Gold Edition, a Steelbox case, a set of physical lithograph prints from art from South Park Studios, and then there's a Collector's Edition, a complete game, your Tally companion, a set of in-game costumes and a bonus perk to get fans started, a set of physical lithograph prints with art from South Park Studios, a 6-inch replica figurine of the Coon by Ubisoft Collectibles. Yeah. And do you guys want the story? And they actually do a question and answer with the Parker and Stone.
No. We're good, man. We gotta move on.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of news. That's why.
From one sequel to the next, this comes to us live from Gamatsu. State of Decay 2 announced for Xbox One and PC. So it's coming out. It's a follow-up to the 2013 launch Xbox 360 game. Multiplayer zombie survival game. We'll see players working together to build lasting communities where choices made shape an interconnected world. And there's a trailer there. I'm not going to go. It's an extensive. It tells you everything about the game.
I'm interested in this. I played the demo on the Xbox 360. I mean, I enjoyed it, but the frame rate was awful, so I didn't buy it.
Yeah. Due out sometime in 2017, which most of the games that...
If you're talking about the Xbox One version, yeah, I heard they kind of fucked that one up.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
it looks interesting because it looks like you can start your own, community
full
and stuff.
Game, and yeah, the frame rate could have been better, but it wasn't horrible. It was workable.
From what I saw, the game looked pretty good. It's a good zombie game, but,
It looked like it's sort of like what Walking Dead is about, building. Yeah.
I mean, mechanically, I really liked it. It's just performance-wise, it just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
All right.
I never played the first one, so I go for your opinion.
Eric, another sequel.
Another sequel is that Dead Rising 4 has been announced for Xbox One and PC, and apparently it has a timed exclusivity window, so we'll probably go to PS4 and whatever else later.
Yeah,
well, I don't think it'll be coming to Wii U.
Well, yeah, it's probably NX.
Yeah,
I could see them doing NX, but definitely not Wii U. But iOS version, extremely watered down version. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see it. Like maybe the NX will be as powerful as the PS4.
I never did play Chop Till You Drop though.
Yeah,
I don't imagine many people did.
Yeah, this one returns Frank, so that should be anytime Frank's in a title, that's always a good thing. So
but the thing is, this this is the only good Frank there's ever been.
No, other than myself. All right, Mug, next story, please.
You didn't mention one thing about this. Apparently, this happens at Christmas time, so this is heavily holiday influenced. So, So.
Zombie Santa zombies. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to see somebody get speared with a Christmas tree.
I'm sure that will happen. All right. Coming at us live from Gematsu, Harvest Moon, Skytree Village, E3 2016 trailer. Natsume has released the trailer for the previously mentioned game. Here's a brief overview. Yeah. The once prosperous and verdant land known as the Oasis of the Harvest Goddess, in that land, many people used to live in harmony in a lush and green place called Skytree Village. However, the power of the Harvest Goddess gradually began to fade and the land became arid and dry. Now it's up to you to nurture the 7 sky trees back to health in order to give the Harvest Goddess her power back and in turn restore life to this desolate land! Harvest Moon, Skytree Village weaves a charming farming, charming farming story and incorporates new features and streamlined gameplay mechanics based on fan feedback. The community has helped shape this all-new adventure just like players will shape and mold.
Just hope that it's actually good this time because Natsume can't seem to make a good Harvest Moon game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not entirely. Like, this is very much not my style of game.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Eric, next story, please.
Next story would be Earth's Dawn is coming west, and this is from Gematsu. It says, Rising Star Games is bringing Earth's Dawn, Japanese developer Oneo 8 2D. I don't know. I think they might have fucked up here. It says the 2D action side-scroller launched September 2015 in Japan, and I think it's supposed to be 2016.
Yeah.
I don't know. They really fucked up here.
No. They launched it September.
They've become Silicon Era.
They launched it in Japan in 2015.
Yeah, but then it says, to North America and Europe, the publisher announced.
Yeah, they're bringing it to the United States.
Yeah, but
No, it's
it
correct.
It didn't show a date for the U.S., though, at all.
Keep reading.
It says that it will be released digitally across the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One this fall, so that's only a window. And physically for PS4 and apparently the PC.
Hmm. There you go.
Look. Physical PC releases these days.
Yeah, I know. All right, Breakman, next story, please.
I think this game had a different name before, though. I'm not sure what it was called before.
All right, Breakman, next story, please.
Coming to us live from the story that's not loading here, but it's supposedly Gematsu. Yeah. Why are you not loading story?
I can go with the story if you don't have
it. Okay.
All right, from Gematsu, PQ to publish Root Letter in the West. Western release due out in 2016. Katagawa Games, PS4, PS Vita, mystery, visual novel, North America and Europe in 2016, publisher announced. It's a youth mystery adventure and human drama set in Shimane Prefecture. In it, the player will engage in an adventure to solve the mystery of Fumino Aya, a pen pal friend from high school who disappeared after leaving a mysterious letter. A letter delivered 15 years later. I like the concept of that. That's kind of cool. So that we'll be getting a date. It'll be launched in Japan on June 16th.
It is a sequel to Root Double, though, so you might want to play that first.
Yeah, maybe that might give.
Which is on Steam right now.
All right. Let's see. Mug, next story, please.
All right, coming at us live from Gematsu. We have Demon Gaze 2 launching October 13th in Japan, but not in the U.S. So why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Because it's Eric's birthday, that's why.
Yeah, because it's Eric's birthday. Narcissistic, fuck. pre-orders of the game, yeah.
I know you're not just
a narcissist, you're turning into me.
Pre-orders will include a best selection Demon Gaze music CD featuring music from Demon Gaze 1 and Demon Gaze 2. Publisher said the series was conceived as a trilogy and they're aiming at 1 million sales worldwide for the franchise.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And there's a trip.
Yeah. All right.
I think they're only about a quarter of that way there, so maybe they can get to
Breakman, most of it. You're up. Next story, please.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era, thank you. Revelation Online heading west soon, according to new trailer. A new Revelation Online trailer was released officially and announced to officially announce the game's imminent Western release, bringing the game's flight-based gameplay to a new audience. in Revelation Online, players will be able to fly around the world of Numenor as they seek information on a myth about a legendary artifact. Players will get a taste of their flight powers right from the beginning of the game, although they will not have full access to them until level 29. Well, yeah. I mean, you can't give everybody their powers right away. I mean, Jesus. There's a lot more here. I don't know if you want to get.
Yeah, I think we'll get there. Man. All right, yeah. On to the next story, Eric.
Next story is also from Silly String Era. It says, find yourself falling in love for a man you should hate in Otome Empty Horizons. After her father's passing, Mirella's uncle agrees to take her in. This unfortunately means being escorted to his home in France by Leon, a tactless, careless Frenchman who seems to only care about telling stupid jokes and seducing older women. Mirella used to hate him, but yet their time together only brings him closer.
I like him already.
It reminds me of someone.
Maybe someone it's like a retelling of Beauty and the Beast. He's like some douchebag, and then you turn him into not douchebag.
Yeah. Stockholm Syndrome, the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, in that case, you actually kidnap your person first.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're talking about Beauty and the Beast. That would be Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Mug.
All right. Classic, coming to us live from Destructoid. Classic Skies of Arcadia Legends gets a difficulty hack. And I think this sums up the entire article is summed up pretty well by their little subheader. Any excuse to write about this game.
Yeah.
This horribly, horribly overrated game.
Not
as
overrated.
Discovered by Silicon Era. There is
it is
a new
overrated,
hack.
But it's still fun.
Not overrated. Yeah,
the Skies of Arcadia Legends, the GameCube version of the game, which makes the experience more difficult, as if I needed yet another reason to replay it. I couldn't get past the first few hours. It was awful.
No,
the alterations basically make enemies more difficult and rebalances the entire game. Surprisingly, it also incorporates beta elements like new ship items. If you haven't had a chance to play it yet, I don't suggest going this deep, but picking it up on Dreamcast or GameCube at some point would be a great idea. It's commonly referred to as one of the best RPGs of all time.
If you want to play the hack, you have to get the GameCube version, so I don't know why you mentioned Dreamcast.
Yeah. I got both.
It's commonly referred to as one of the best RPGs of all time for no good reason.
No, it
I
is.
Don't
it's a great
know
game.
About if that's true at all, because I only know these people saying that all the time.
No, yeah, great. Skies of like Arcadia is a great game.
It's commonly
game,
referred to as the greatest game by me. Yeah, you know, it's like well,
it would end up on a lot of top 10 lists. That's for sure. I have it on both the Dreamcast and the GameCube.
It's so insipid though, and the encounter rate is unbearable.
It's unbearable.
Fine. It's fine game. You guys are wussies. All right, next story from.
I give the game an 8, but it's not as good as people think it is.
No, it's good.
I give it a better than Dragon Quest 8.
No, that's good.
An 8, that's a really high rating. You're making
that's
this game sound like
than,
bad. And you
better
get an 8.
Than Dragon Quest.
It's not bad, it's just people.
It's a want great
to
game.
It 10,
it's a 9 out of 10. Other, it would get a 10 out of 10 except for that random encounter bullshit. But let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. Dragon Quest Builders launches October 11th in North America, October 14th in Europe. We've talked about this game before, so I'm not going to discuss it further. It's basically Dragon Quest Minecraft. Next story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Fault Milestone 1 and Rabbi Ribby coming to PS4 and PS Vita. I don't know what that means. Is that anti-Semitic? I'm sorry.
Semitic.
I mean it.
Semitic.
Semitic.
There's no end in Semitic. you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah, you're
sorry.
An anti-semantic.
Sorry.
An anti-semantic.
I think I've offended a lot of people right now. Let's move on. Fault Milestone 1 and Rabbi Ribby are coming to PlayStation 4 and PS Vita courtesy of
Sekai Project. It's because, you know, rabbits.
Sekai Project. They announced at E3, like most of these news stories that we're talking about. Let me see here. Do you guys want the stories to these?
No.
So we just got tell us that they're and then they're, if they're a thing and then move on. And it's
fall release on Steam for Fault Milestone 1 and a winter release for Rabbi Ribby.
All right, there you go. All right,
Fault Milestone 1's already on Steam, so I think they meant PS4 and Vita.
Yeah, maybe.
Really? What the hell? It's on Steam. Oh, God damn it.
All right, Mug, next story, please. Yeah.
They fucked up there.
You like bypassed
me. And Rob A. Ruby's also Steam, so these are both PS4 and
Vita. Okay, now he's corrupted you. It's Rabbi, not Rabbi.
Yeah, it's Rabbi.
Like, it's Rabbi. It's just Rabbi Ruby and his adventures.
It's Rabbi because of rabbits.
I know, but it's like it's Rabbi Ruby and the adventures of the Moyle Motel.
Someplace in the world, there's a Jewish person listening to this show just shaking their head, man.
Let's not kid ourselves. Nobody listens to this show.
Well, like I said, there's one or two people.
Oh, not even Stealth. You stopped listening to the show.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I know, probably Stealth. Did.
Stealth's he like, said he right, back for $400, though.
Ah, there you go.
For $400, that show.
No, not that $400.
All right.
Moving on.
Yeah.
All right. Coming to us live from Gematsu, Curare Magic Library coming to North America. How exciting! IO Studio is bringing Curare Magic Library, the card battle RPG, launched for PlayStation 4 in Asia to January. January to North America, the company announced. God, who constructs these sentences? Sign-ups for early access are now available at the game's official website with access code delivery planned for July.
There you go.
A brief overview of the game. Feet your eyes on a rich variety of dazzling card illustrations in Curare Magic Library. In this next-gen card battle RPG, which I'm fairly certain is a contradiction in terms, you will find yourself immersed in the vast sea of stories that span multiple dimensions. Enjoy exciting adventure with charming librarians and tons of cool codices spelled
so
for this
card. Not next-gen.
Charming librarians. There you go. I like the sound of that.
I was going to say, I've met a couple of charming librarians, and I knew them well. In the biblical sense.
All right, so there you go. That's the story on that.
My grandma was a librarian.
I knew her too.
I know a couple
intimately.
Librarians.
He knew
that's
great
what
man's
that's
grandmother
what the biblical sense
intimately.
Means, Frank.
Yeah, that he knew your grandmother intimately. Breakman. Yeah. Next story. Breakman.
No, I understood, Frank.
Like, next story.
Not quite a child, Frank. Well, I know. I guess to you, everyone's a child. But anyway, coming to us live from Silicon Era.
You're all just babies.
Paracosm is a light RPG with combat inspired by Zelda 2. Ooh, really?
You know, it looks clearly like Earthbound.
Yeah. It does. Paracosm, a light RPG set in the present day, stars a boy trying to save his town from a mysterious enemy. The hero of Paracosm will meet many interesting odd characters in his exploration of his hometown. He will also meet enemies who want to rough him up, and should they see him, it will start a fight, which is handled in separate 2D action sequence similar to the Zelda 2 action adventure. To Zelda 2. God, it sounds like my city at some points. In combat sequences, players will need to factor in timing to their weapons and enemies' attacks. This is influenced by the early Castlevania games, which is made especially clear with the hero's yo-yo weapon. Or, you know, Star Tropics.
You weren't kidding, though. I looked at that. I was like, oh, yeah, it looks like Earthbound. Now I looked at the screenshot. No, it looks literally like Earthbound.
Yeah, it looks a lot.
Jesus
like
Christ.
Earthbound. Yes. There's no differential between the two, yeah. I think. The hero will be able to equip other weapons, though, each of which has its own attack speeds and range to be factored in. This will take Paracosm is expected to take 4 to 5 hours to complete and will feature multiple endings and hidden secrets.
Yeah, there you go.
Next year, sometime in mid 2070.
All right, Eric.
Sometime in mid 2070.
Yeah, exactly.
2070.
All right, Eric. Next story, please.
Next one is Nintendo and Grezzo. They spelled Grezzo wrong. It says Grezzo here. Oh my God, Gamatsu, you were doing so well, and now you've come Silicon Era.
Yeah,
exactly. It's sad. Like, I don't know what's happening there.
They Grezzo's need editors. Up. What the fuck? Hire me.
Yeah, there you go.
I've got nothing better to do in my time. I mean, if I can get paid for this, I'd quit my job because I'd be working full time.
No shit.
I'd get money for this.
Well, they spelled it correctly in the article, so go from there.
Our friend Freak Fivecast would like to announce that he thought that Stealth was with it. It was on every episode, just being
but
stealthy.
But he was Stealth. No. Anyways, Nintendo Japanese developer Grezzo, founded by Mana series creator Koichi Ishii, announced Ever Oasis, a new action RPG for 3DS, out in 2017 during the Nintendo Treehouse live stream at E3 2016. Says it takes place in a desert. The main character is the leader of the Oasis, and with his partner Asuna, a water spirit, who looks a lot like Undine from goes on an adventure and hopes to develop the Oasis. But there are many challenges he must face. Yeah. And
it's Undyne, by the way.
Undyne. Yeah, okay. And it looks cute. Yeah. And hopefully it'll be a better Mana game than the other Mana games, because the latter day Mana games are not great at all. Yeah. Need I remind anybody of Donna Mana?
Yeah. So sometime next year we're getting this game is what I'm gathering from the article here. All right, let's move on.
It looks pretty.
It does look good. There's no question about that. This also looks good. Mug, next story, please. What's this Treehouse update?
Oh, I think I might have fucked that one up.
Yeah, let's skip that one. Go on to the next one.
That was supposed to be the Dragon Quest VII release date. I'll just mention it here. It'll come out September 16th.
Yeah, that's an
exciting. Mark your calendars, guys.
Yes,
it will be better than Dragon Quest VIII.
Get out of here. No, it won't, but it'll still be good. All right. Next time.
All right, I don't have to worry about getting a 3DS until September. Got it.
All right.
No, just get one. Save up now, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Victorum, a first or third person action RPG, with customizable spells, features destructurables, letting players tear whole cities apart in their quest for vengeance. So it's Red Faction.
Are you going to copyright that word?
Yeah.
Destructurables. Imaginators. Like, we just make up words like Activision.
Yes. The Victorum are an order of magicians who've been hunted down by other spellcasters due to their powerful magical abilities. Then how do they get hunted down? In retaliation, one member of the order caused a disaster that unleashed a deadly mist on the world. It's Final Fantasy IX, which has caused the remaining members to be hunted down. Who is masturbating? Somebody's masturbating into the goddamn... Man.
I'm sorry. I was trying not to laugh out loud from what you said about why are they being hunted down? Like they should be just wiping everybody out, right?
Yeah. Anyway, the player takes on the last of their order, a man twisted by the mist and wrecked with a. Hey, they used the right spelling of wrecked. They had a W. Nice. With a need for revenge against the Inquisition that killed his friends and colleagues. In Factorum. Wait, I thought it was Victorum. Yeah, so it's Victorum or Factorum. Players can customize. They spelled Factorum. Players can customize aspects of their spells on the fly, changing a fireball spell to create cluster bombs, huge artillery strikes, or other useful effects. This is done by applying properties in a menu, which shapes how the spell will function, but this menu doesn't pause combat. Might be kind of interesting. Players can find new runes to use on each spell, equipping them to change the potential effects they can create during combat. They can also find other equipment and items to put on their character. Victorum's procedurally generated world is broken down into nodes. I was kind of getting interested in this until you said that. Each of which leads to different areas. Each area has a set goal, whether that be to beat enemies or destroy structures, as well as obtainable equipment for your magician. Almost a musician. Kickstarter will begin on June 21st.
There you go. So we have no release date on that. Next story comes to us from Nintendo Everything. Girlman 3D, a monstrous adventure announced for 3DS.
Oh, wait, hang on. I was like, Guruman, not Girlman.
Girl.
No, he said Girlman, like girly man.
Girlman.
What the hell, dude?
Dude, come on, man. I'm trying to get through
this. I thought you were being Slumpy Princess
If we sat here...
Time. Girl!
We got to stop doing this, correcting every single thing that somebody says wrong. Like, it's pretty annoying, especially on a day with all this news. Girlman 3D, a monstrous adventure announced for 3DS out this summer. Mastiff and Falcom have revealed that Girlman... Monstrous Adventures in the works for 3DS. Furthermore, it will be released on the eShop next month. So, originally it came out on PC in 2004 as a Japanese title before coming to Steam last year and later ended up on the PSP. I don't even remember this game.
Yeah, PSP 1 came out in like 2008 or 9, I think.
Yeah, so this summer as an eShop download. So, there you go. People with 3DS, rejoice.
I think the PSP games can be had for like anywhere from 5 to 10. I can't remember the price.
Yeah.
There's also a Steam version.
All right, last story. Eric, please.
And I'm thinking that the game's frame rate will suffer, but hopefully it's still playable. Anyways, the last story is Caligula coming west via PSN spring 2017. Atlas is localizing Furyu and Aquaria's new PS Vita RPG. I wonder why they're doing just a digital release. But anyways, we talked about the setting, where how it takes place in the virtual reality of Mobius.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember this. So there you go.
It says no further details of localization were announced. So it's a brief announcement, and pretty much that's it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, homie discounts. I don't think there's any Twitter questions, Breakman.
Actually, right now, for the live listeners, if you don't know about it right now, EA is offering a bunch of their games from last year and this year as free play until the till the end of the week.
Oh, there you go.
But for the people who are listening on the recording, it'll be too late probably.
Oh, yeah, there's also a sale going on PSN right now. You can get Dragon Age Inquisition for text $6.
Is it worth $6, Inquisition?
I've heard yes. It is. Okay. And I've heard the DLC isn't worth shit, so don't get the DLC.
It's got to be better than 2. 2 was a piece of fucking ass.
But it was better than Dragon Quest VIII.
No, it was not.
I actually don't know if the PS3 version of Inquisition's on there or not.
Yeah. All right. Twitter questions. Breakman.
Okay, on Twitter.
Oh boy, here we go. This is going
to
be a good one.
Okay, well, first he has Freak 5 Cast would like to say, reading the show description, fuck The Conjuring 2. I will wait until it's on Netflix, but I will see Warcraft.
Conjuring 2 was great. It was a great movie.
I like the first Conjuring, so I do want to see the second one.
Yeah, the second one's really good.
The first Conjuring was the first horror movie I've actually liked in a long time.
I like a lot of horror movies, but that
I know. Really you have low standards.
Right. I do not.
Breakman also has low standards, but only when it comes to women.
Yeah, right.
Oh, what the fuck? That's not cool.
You talked about dirty whores earlier. I think you do.
I was kidding. Anyway.
So am I.
Man, they're not. Big meanie. Anyway, back to our friend Freak 5 Cast, and here's why I sighed. Rather not even read this one. Would you rather have a gorilla killed to save a kid or have your kid eaten by an alligator?
Have a gorilla killed. That's super easy. That's not
how dare you use Freak 5 Chaos using a recent tragedy to evil question.
That's messed up, man. What's wrong with you? You have no standards. And then not to top it off, he asked us another would you rather. Would you rather have your body found on a pile of drugs or a pile of sex toys?
Wait,
that's easy for me. Sex toys.
Read that again.
Would you rather have your body, and he means dead body, found on a pile of drugs?
Other people finding your body.
Right. On a pile of drugs or a pile of sex toys?
I'd rather have sex toys because I don't want people thinking I died because I did a drug overdose.
Yeah, it's going to be a sex toys, and you're probably going to find some in me.
Ooh. Wow.
Since I'm dead, I mean, you know.
Wow. Breakman getting the dirty. There you go. All right. Yeah, that's an easy one. That's for me, it's drugs. Yeah. Fuck yeah. I'm going to go out.
And Mrs. Breakman would like to add that I am sick.
Yeah. How about both? Can it be both? That's the third option?
Why not? Right. Sure. Go ahead.
There you go.
If you're going to die, you might as well fucking go all in, right?
I guess Ustream's having some
also loads of alcohol bottles.
All right. Anything else? Oh, Mug, did you answer that question? I don't think you did. Mug did not answer that question. Are you there, Mug?
I think he scared Mug.
Yeah, I think I scared him too. Oh, he's not even on here. Let me get him back on. Oh. That's why. All right. Let's move on. Anything else, Breakman? No? Nothing? I get nothing from you, Break? At all? Whatsoever? What about you, Eric? Are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Breakman's gone on assignment, I guess, for real quick, and I can't get Mug back. I think he's having some problems as well. Let's move on. If there's any other Twitter shit, then Rake will chime in here in a second. What have you been playing, Eric?
I've been playing more 7th Dragon 3 Code VFD. finished Altair Sophie, the Alchemist of Mysterious book, and I haven't written the review yet because I've been running around all week and having to deal with stupid shit.
Yeah.
But, or just, you know, feeling tired.
Yeah.
But, I feel really tired now, actually. But I also played a little bit of Fairy Fencer F Advent Dark Force, but that's all I've been playing.
All right.
Oh, yeah, most of the week was spent watching Zelda videos or whatnot online for great. All the E3 nonsense.
I know, and Mug was complaining about he was seriously complaining about Zelda, and I'm like, well, are you seeing the same game that I am? It looks awesome. Like, it looks great.
This Mug doesn't like fun. You were right all those years ago.
Yeah, didn't I tell you? Didn't I told you? Breakman, are you back?
He's kind of like Ross from Vault Reviews, who only likes games with guns.
Yeah,
but exactly. He wants games with action.
Yeah, Breakman's not back apparently. So,
I'm back. I'm back. What happened?
What have you been playing, man?
I've been playing the same old, same old. But there is also a Halo Wars 2 beta going on right now, so I've been playing that a little bit. And yes, I'm very excited for Halo Wars 2. It's been like 8 years since the first one, so
I'm surprised we haven't gotten more Halo games. Like they seem to like pick and choose. Like every 2-3 years, a Halo game will come out. When in reality, it really should be more than that, don't you think, Rake? Like,
they no, should it's not that popular. I think
it's not. I think they should expand the types of games they make more, like Halo Wars 2, which is a strategy game. Right. It has nothing to do with first person shooting, you know.
Yeah.
And I really liked the first game. I think it was the first really successful real time strategy game on a console. There have been others, but I don't think any of them played very well.
You know, if we go 10 years without a Halo game, I hope they totally make a Halo game that it's called Halo, but it's actually just an turn based RPG.
Yeah,
it'd be like the opposite of Shadowrun.
I don't think there's any coincidence that Mug left, like he's not on right now, and Freak 5 left the chat. I don't think there's
he disgusted him.
Yeah,
That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's an interesting development.
It is. All right, let's move on. I already asked you. Okay, so it's me. I've been playing obviously MPQ. And I've been playing
filthy casual.
I've been playing Bayonetta as well. So
okay, so maybe you're not filthy casual,
right? Bayonetta is a good, I remember playing it before.
Are you playing the Wii version?
I am playing the Wii U version.
When did you buy the game? I don't remember.
I bought a long time ago, man. I just now getting
like
to it.
When it launched?
Little after launch, I bought it.
Did you get it with two, or did you buy it off the eShop?
No, I got it with two. Like I bought two and it came with one. So
I wonder if there are like any copies of like the both disc versions of the game still.
Yeah. I don't know. Did Wicked Radio crash?
Yeah. Apparently, according to Freak.
All right. I'll restart it. Restarted now, but yeah, I've been playing a little bit of Bayonetta. It's just batshit crazy. The story means nothing. There's really
butter nerder.
Yeah, it's really there's really nothing. I mean, Bayonetta's Bayonetta. You know, the graphics look okay on the Wii U. I will say, I played
they look worse, but they're okay still.
Yeah, they're okay. It's not, you know, it's nothing, you know.
And the game was also developed at a time when a lot of the games were still in the gray and brown era.
Yeah.
So it kind of suffers from that a bit.
All right, chat, I restarted, so let me know when you guys hear me again. If you hear us typing in chat here. Okay, that's what I've been playing. It's just stylized violence. Stylized erotic violence is what it is. I forgot how sexually charged Bayonetta was. It's pretty...
Two's a little subdued. compared to one.
I haven't seen.
She uses her hair as a weapon, and her hair covers her. And you just now realize that, Frank?
No. I mean, like, when I remember playing it before and thinking the same thing, that it was super highly sexualized. But I was watching it again, like the beginning sequences, a lot of like stripper moves. You know what I mean? Like those crotch kind of like move your legs in the air type deals. I just remember it being like that. But playing it again on the Wii U, it's same what I remember. So. All right, I cannot for the life of me get Freak back on, so I don't know what the hell's going on. I think his computer just crashed or whatever.
Is he online? Or?
Yeah, it shows online. I just can't get him back online. Maybe he had to leave suddenly. But
Maybe we need to stop and start over?
No, I think we're okay. Let's see. I can't get Mug back on, so we're going to move on. Stinkos, Eric. I think this is on everybody's mind.
Yeah, I think everybody has the same stinko, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Orlando shootings and the Pulse nightclub plus – well, this doesn't have to do with Orlando per se, but it was something that also – it was also a shooting. But some YouTube singer named Christina – Grimmy,
yeah,
I think that's how you say your last name.
Yeah.
Was also shot and killed. And then, going back to Orlando, a 2-year-old gets eaten by an alligator. I guess.
Yeah.
To be fair to Orlando, Disney World's actually in Kissimmee, Florida, so it didn't really happen in Orlando.
It's sort of Orlando.
I know it's close to Orlando. It's like yeah. It's like the greater Orlando area, basically.
The stinko there would be everybody claiming that the parent was bad and whatever. You guys are losers.
Yeah, there's a lot of people trying to compare it to what happened to the gorilla, and like these are two different situations.
But going back to Orlando shooter, apparently they found out that he probably, in all likelihood, was gay, and he was conflicted about his gayness, and I think he wanted to join the ISIS terrorist group because
I don't think that was the thing. I don't think he was gay. Like, I think he was trying to lure gay men in.
So it was a sting operation, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel from like all the details I've seen and stuff
The thing was, if he was gay, then that would speak to the corrupting nature of the extreme Islamic ideals, because
it's true.
If you're in such a position like that, then you're conflicted, and when people are that conflicted, they get to a breaking point, and then they do something insane, like shoot up a building full of gay people.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at this the couple that. It was in California that turned out to be terrorists when that one guy went back to his office and shot up all of his coworkers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, he was getting familiar with them, and he was casing the place and such like that, just like I think this guy was with the gay bar. And I think he was specifically targeting homosexuals and, you know, anybody he considered out of the norm.
Yeah.
Because if you looked at, like, the dating apps, the only thing that he did on the dating apps was, like, apparently, like, he repeated himself and he just sent out, like, pictures of his dick because he didn't know what to do to lure the guys in, I think. I think he was trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah. This is the worst mass shooting in American history.
There's
people calling it a hate crime. Can you please just stop? A crime's a crime.
Right. I hate that term, hate crime.
You don't need to put an unnecessary label on something.
Yeah, it's just a crime. The only
point calling a hate crime would serve is if you were in a jury and you were trying to determine the nature of the crime.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I think the reason they made hate crimes is so they could specifically maybe like have another charge that they can add on to the person.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's more jail time or something like that. Which is kind of messed up because, it, you know, like you said, like hate is hate and crime is crime.
It's
undeniably terrorism, though, even if he wasn't attached to ISIS, because he's still doing it for political reasons.
And the fact that – see, this is what I hate about this shooting. It happened in a gay nightclub, but a lot of people that got killed weren't gay. And, you know, to classify it as that and somehow
– Look, I've been to gay nightclubs before. No, I've been to gay bars before.
So have I. The thing about this
right.
is –
Right, and does anybody think we're gay?
No. Here's the thing.
Exactly. This is just – like to assume that because they're in there, they're gay, like that's just ignorant.
Well, it's ignorant, but not only that, the way the media is portraying it, I almost feel in a way like Fox News, I was watching their coverage just because, you know, they're Fox News and they tend to fuck things up. Because
they want to sow a narrative that says, oh, look, the gays are bad.
Right.
Christian values.
See, this is the problem that I had with it. How about it just so happened to go down at a gay nightclub.
Fuck that preacher for you know I don't know which preacher what his name was. I just remember hearing
Jimenez. I just remember his last name. I don't
Jimenez. Yeah, fuck him for saying praise the Lord and shit like that.
Yeah, well, that's the Westboro.
Basically, he's basically saying that it's good that they're dead now.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because they were innocent. Like, all they were doing was having
actually
a good time.
What he was saying was he was basically saying, "Well, I want the gay people to die, but I want the government to do it." And so this person did it for the wrong reasons, but he's still gross.
Yeah, it's just really ridiculous.
Anybody who thinks gay people need to be executed by as a law, it's like fuck you. Get out of this
country. that's a lot of Middle Eastern countries.
That's not just Middle Eastern countries. That's in a lot of religions. Yeah. Like that's
this country was not founded on biblical laws, and even if it was, we'd be of a certain Christian denomination that would not tolerate that sort of thing.
Well, here's the thing,
it's not just Christians too. Like it's heavily in the Quran about homosexuals need to be killed.
Well,
Bible and a Quran, like these religions are, they have way too much power.
This is why people.
It's weird. It's like the UK has an official religion, but they're like pretty secular.
Here's what I have to say about this. Christopher Hitchens, I believe it was Christopher Hitchens. I'm pretty sure it was Christopher Hitchens.
We're a supposedly secular country, but we have Christians interfering.
Christopher Hitchens came out with a book called Religion Poisons Everything, and this is a prime example of why it's so venomous even after the fact. I mean, the shooting wasn't bad enough. You got these preachers, like what Eric was saying, the Westboro Baptist Church, which is going to protest the funerals, which I think is utterly tasteless and ridiculous.
Or it's funny, like when a white guy does a crime, a mass shooting, and people call that person mental and disturbed. But when a Muslim does it, it's automatically assumed that it's because it's terrorism. I mean, in this case, it was. But
I actually think there was some mental instability with that guy too, though.
I think mental instability goes hand in line with terrorism.
And
religious motivation.
And religious motivation. This is why, like Hitchens, when he said religion poisons everything and the world would be better without it, these are the reasons why. Because the thinking
is so backwards.
It's so backwards. When you're in a religion of this nature, or even any religion, you have overtones of being gay is bad. And I can assure you, being gay is not bad.
Can I say one thing, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
I know that some people would like to make the argument that that's horseshit, but I'd say that they're full of shit because it's not like we're saying that that a world without religion would be so much better world that it would be utopia. No, it just means it would be a better world because we'd have less excuses for violent crimes taking place.
Well, you'd have less reason to fight with other denominations, right?
Like freaks saying he can't hear us.
Yeah, I'll work on that. But I think it was just awful. The whole thing was just awful.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter
I mean, world I would like to say that there give people less motivation to do crimes.
I know, like, we are bashing religion, but there are some, like, denominations, some churches, both Christian and Muslim, that have reached out to the communities in this point, like, are doing everything to help.
Blood donation drives and stuff like that.
Look, there's no question.
So there are good religious organ. I mean, good meaning.
Yeah, and those are the ones that will evolve, and the other ones are going to die eventually.
Look,
and
this is.
But I think the moderates need to step up their game and stop acting like they're, you know, undecided or just.
Look, here's the thing. You guys are right.
Like Huckabee, like he doesn't get to pretend that he actually cares about what's going on here when he has done things to the contrary in the past.
Look, here's the deal. I think people misunderstand when I say things of this nature with religion. There's obviously good people in every religion, just like there's bad people in every religion. I mean,
don't take what we say at face value.
Look, here's the thing, though. Like, the religion itself, I don't care if it's Christian, if it's Muslim, if it's Buddhist, if there are so many bad things in the pages of the books that these people believe in. Now, if you're a person in the religion that's good, and you don't follow those pages, then you're just cherry picking. Your religion still stinks, right?
It's not that cherry picking is bad. It's just you're not actually looking at your
religion. Maybe we shouldn't.
I was speaking, please. Yeah. It's not that cherry picking is bad. It's just that when you cherry pick, people tend to not look at why they're cherry picking in the first place and still identifying with a label. If you actually took time to look at a religious belief system, then you could probably reasonably determine that maybe I shouldn't call myself this.
Yeah. Or how about this? You have your own mind, so make up your own mind when it comes to morality and shit that. Like that's the whole
I think
thing.
Religion has a very good track record of putting a kibosh on the critical processes in your brain.
Yeah. It's just go ahead, Breakman.
It discourages independent thought.
Breakman, you were.
I was just going to say that maybe we shouldn't get into this right now because this is supposed to be the E3 show, and
let's move on.
We're running out of time.
Please. Yeah, let's move on. Eric, you have another stinko. We pretty much covered Orlando and how much that sucked.
Yeah, the Japanese porn industry is. Well, that's a good thing, but the fact that it's even happening is indicative of the Japanese porn industry is pretty bad. LA Times says Japanese police begin crackdown on coerced sex in the porn industry. It says Japanese pornography industry has come under great scrutiny after Tokyo Metro police arrested executives of a well-known talent agency on suspicion of coercing an actress to engage in sex on camera. Human rights groups have been calling for action for months. So this police announcement that they had arrested the president of Marks Japan and two others on suspicion that they forced a woman into appearing in adult films by threatening to punish her financially. So basically, they trick you into joining a modeling gig, and then they'll ask you to do porn films instead. Or, you know, they'll do Yavska-style tactics on you.
Yeah.
I wonder if these people are actually connected to Yasuka, though.
Possibly. This has been going on a long, long time. I don't know. I'm glad they're finally starting to crack down on shit like
and
that.
And it's not just women, too, that they do this to. They do this to men as well, but they do the women a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, only 10% of the men that actually work through this are apparently treated this way, too.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Breakman.
That's a big step for Japan. I mean, we should congratulate them on like actually starting to go after them.
We should congratulate them. It's the year 2016, and
I don't mean like congratulate.
He's talking about how the government's actually doing something.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like we shouldn't be congratulating them. You're right. That was a bad choice of words. Thanks, friend.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, this is a big step for Japan.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You're right. Let's move on. Breakman, your stinko of the week.
Mine, the Orlando shooting.
In case you want to know, I got this article from Jake Adelstein, who's been in Japan for a long time. He even wrote a book called Tokyo Vice, which I've been highly encouraged to read, but I've just never found the time. In fact, I bought it on Dungeon Buster's recommendation. But you could follow him on Twitter to find a lot of articles like this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there you go. At least they're doing something now. Mine, it's also Orlando for the reasons we outlined, but I'm also going to add another person to this stinko of this week, John McCain.
Oh, boy.
he said that President Obama was directly responsible for the shootings, which...
He did say he was sorry about saying that.
So what? I don't care.
No,
if,
I'm just saying.
I don't care if he's fake apologizing.
No. Hold on.
Breakman. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Breakman.
I know. It's stupid. I'm just saying. Like he said, like I realized that was stupid.
No, I understand that.
Even he realizes it was stupidest thing to say.
Okay. Stupid does not mean it's still not illegal, right? You're basically accusing the president
it's
of
treason.
A terror. No, yeah, that's right. It's treason. John McCain is a treasonous piece of shit, and I hope people.
Well,
in there's-
at the same time, the president's been waging a legal war.
Well, let's look.
I mean, the only reason
they
won't charge him is because he's probably got lawyers.
Let's
and
not
do.
Well, no, it's because he's
a
president.
And two, he said it in such a way that. He probably meant it as like an offhand.
I'm not talking about the president. I'm not talking about the president's issues here. He's got his own whole set.
Right. You're right.
I'm talking,
just saying like all these guys
listen,
do illegal shit, but
listen,
you're right. I'm sorry.
I'm talking specifically.
I'm sorry, Frank. I'm
hold
sorry.
On.
Can you just shut up and let Frank talk?
Yeah. Frank, I'm trying to let you talk. Frank, I'm trying to let you talk right now.
All right, look, here we go.
Frank, I'm trying to let you talk.
You son
okay,
of a bitch.
That's enough now.
Sorry.
Look, Frank, this right, this go. Is what's messed up about it, all right? If I had said that on these airwaves and somebody caught wind of it, I'm pretty sure I'd be on a watch list or somebody would be talking to me, right, for treason. And I could potentially go to jail for it. So why isn't
NSA's
somebody
– watching.
Only if you threaten the president's life.
No, there's some – there's
no
–
you can
listen.
Say stuff about the president, but you just can't threaten his life.
Well, well
yeah,
you can't – you can't –
laws in this country are a little lax.
You can't – look, treason is a whole separate issue too, Breakman. If I had said those same
it's
things
– It's one step short of treason.
Break, Eric, can I – please, let me finish.
See,
point.
That's the thing is there's a lot of people that say those exact things throughout this country.
Look, here's the deal.
They can say it, whatever, how stupid it is, they can still say it.
You can't say treasonous things and get away with
that's
it.
That's not treasonous.
Look.
Threatening the president's life is you cannot do.
Look, this is what I'm saying.
As far as free speech, you cannot threaten someone's life. You not threaten the president's life.
Oh my God, you're missing the point. I'm just gonna skip on because every time I try to get it out, it just doesn't come across. So we'll move on.
No,
but
you're right. I interrupted you way too much.
Think,
I'm gonna shut up and let you talk. I'm gonna mute myself, Frank, and let you talk.
Look, I think John McCain is a treasonous piece of shit. If I would have said the same things that John McCain did on these airwaves, somebody would have caught wind of it. I could potentially be in jail for treason. That's just the bottom line. So why isn't somebody at least at his doorstep asking him about this? All right, you can't just
white
you can't
privilege,
just,
I guess.
You can't just say something like that, and not answer for it. You can't just say, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, you can't do something like that and say I'm sorry about it and expect there not to be repercussions. So I hope at the very least this causes John McCain not to be elected again in Arizona. I mean, he's fucking 80 years old anyways. Just it's time for you to move on. You're just senile.
Time to go to retirement home, Grandpa.
Yeah, just get out of here, man. It's just ridiculous. Dungeon Buster says McCain did try to clarify his statement, saying he didn't blame Obama personally, only his policies, but whatever. Freak says if you believe that God answers prayers, then praying for the president to die is equivalent to asking someone to kill the president. That's a valid point. But they can hide behind religion, Freak. Gripper's in chat. What's up, Grip? There you go. All right, that's it. All right, let's move on to Sweetos. Breakman, do you have a Sweeto this week?
Yes, I actually have a Sweeto for in sports. Last night, the NBA Finals were played. And I saw a rare interaction between a player and a fan. At one point, one player was very frustrated with what was going on in the court, and he took his mouthpiece out and he threw it. This is something this player normally does, and normally he aims it like at a certain point where he can't hit a fan, but this time he hit a fan. Mm-hmm. What I normally see in sporting events is that, like, it's like, okay, we hit a fan, let's walk away and let's just pretend that never happened. Steph Curry immediately ran over to that fan to apologize to him and shake his hand, to say he was sorry.
Yeah.
So my sweeter goes to Steph Curry because I don't often see that from athletes, and I have a little bit more respect for Steph Curry, even though I'm not a big NBA fan.
Yeah, I've always liked Steph Curry. I'm a big NBA fan. My favorite team's obviously the Denver Nuggets, who never do anything. But I agree with you. Steph Curry seems like a stand-up guy to me. You know, he seems really cool, really down to earth for the most part, you know, so I agree with you. I saw that and I thought it also was, I mean, he shouldn't have done that, but at least he took the time to go out and, you know.
He talked about it in the interview. Like, it's something that when he gets frustrated, like, he'll throw when he's frustrated with the referees, like, sometimes he'll throw his mouthpiece, but he usually throws it like at the table of the, like the announcers and stuff like that. So it's not hanging anybody, but like this time,
Frank,
it's just
Freak can't hear us.
I think it's just Freak's problem. Like, you have to refresh Freak. I mean, I don't know what.
Well, Dungeon Buster says maybe he just doesn't want to be sued. I mean, that's I guess I am kind of the optimistic person as far as looking at it. Yeah. I mean, you could be right. I mean, maybe he's just an asshole and he just didn't want to be sued for it.
I don't think so. I think it's.
But I like to look at. I like to be optimistic. Like to think that, like, he's just a good guy and he felt really bad about hitting somebody.
Yeah, I think the latter.
Which is way different from what we normally see from a lot of athletes who just pretend like it didn't happen or actively be aggressive towards fans.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, Eric, do you have a sweeto this week?
No, by devil lols, ha ha.
Yeah. All right, let me do my sweeto real quick. I thought the game up lineup on E3 was pretty strong. So, regardless
I will say I'm interested in wherever the fuck Death Stranding is.
Yeah, I'm interested in that game too, but it almost looked like
he was doing the sequel to Dante's Inferno, only he replaced Dante and made it Norman Reedus.
Or Silent Hills, you know, Norman Reedus was in that.
It's like, you know, the ending of Dante's Inferno where he's supposedly in Eden and he's all naked.
Why does Kojima always have naked men in his video games?
I'm pretty sure
the main character of Boktai isn't naked at any point in Boktai.
Right, yeah. But like, he's had naked Snake, he's had naked Raiden, now he has naked Norman Reedus. Raiden.
Why not? Why not? I mean,
they called him Raiden in the game, didn't they?
No, Raiden. Always Raiden.
Whatever. I don't care what his damn name is, but he was naked and running around grabbing himself.
There wasn't, I'm pretty sure Jamie Seed wasn't naked, and neither was Jonathan Ingram or whoever the main character was in. Jonathan Ingram's from Police Knots, but there was also another character called Ingram from Zone of the Enders, too. I forget his first name.
So, like, we have a few naked guys.
Dingo Ingram. That was his name.
Yeah.
What a name.
Dungeon Buster says he just remembers the Twitter photo of Konami's area at E3 being empty. Yeah. I was really impressed with the games at E3. I thought it was a fairly strong lineup, especially from the Sony side of things.
Detroit looks like shit because it's basically ripping off Blade Runner.
Cage. I just thought there was a strong lineup of games. That's one sweeto I have this week. The other, Game of Thrones is strong as ever, man. It's, that shows something else. Dungeon Buster, you got to get up to par, man.
And Days Gone doesn't look all that interesting because it's, an apocalypse zombie game with third person shootings.
No, it looks okay.
Although the only interesting thing is the zombie swarming that was seen in movies like World War Z.
with zombie shootings. I hope that's on the box.
Yeah. Eric, what's your lulz real quick, man?
My lulz is a post I found on Facebook that I think Mug actually shared, but he doesn't remember. But it's a picture. It's a collection picture. You all read the captions, but it's basically showing a turtle. And I put the link in chat earlier. It says, "Everyone meet Frank. Frank is a 40-pound snapping turtle that wandered into a community where he did not belong. Frank needed to be escorted back to his local pond where he couldn't go all snappity snap on anyone or cute puppies. So my friend and I jumped into the action. Within 2 minutes, it was pretty apparent that Frank's a gigantic fucking asshole." They censored out the swears, but I'm going to read it anyway. Here we see Frank getting all high and mighty trying to run the fuck away from us and nearest basket of puppies that he could then chompity chomp simply because he's a giant fuck. Let me tell you something, Frank. Your dreams of being a Godzilla-like terror on humanity are fucking over. You picked the wrong town, Frank. You picked the wrong fucking town. Not like Frank was going to take it easy on me, though. I swear to God, this bastard just about hissed and shit everywhere before we got him to calm the fuck down. Says, Jesus, Frank. Frank then realized he was fucked, so instead of cooperating and getting a free ride back to his pond, oh no. Frank just sees he's as a 5 fucking years old and sits on the fucking fuck down and goes limp. Says, honestly, Frank, grow the fuck up. You think there are other trolls acting like they just say your age, Frank? No. Frank here probably thought that at this point we were unqualified to deal with the shelled prehistoric asswipe, but his ass is wrong. So wrong. And there's a picture here of the turtle being picked up, and he says, we fucking lasted the shit out of you, Frank. And needless to say, Frank was pretty fucking upset about the whole ordeal and bitched the entire 10-minute walk back to Casa de Frank. And just when I thought my life was going to get a little bit easier, Frank goes a torpedo shotgun and pisses all over my foot. That's fuck right. You, Frank. That's low even for you, pancake shell dickweed.
Yeah, I pissed all over his goddamn leg. So there you go.
And Moria missed the opportunity to make the link about Frank and the turtle, Frank.
Yeah. You suck, Moria. Where are you? Where are you now? All right, let's move on.
Well, that's why he's gone.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Let's move on. We got a couple reviews, and then if we have any time, we'll talk a little bit about E3, our favorite things. Eric, you have a review?
I've got two reviews, actually.
All right.
Let's Daily Lives of High School Boys. This is – I don't know if anybody's actually watched Slice of Life anime before, but basically they usually detail a group of school kids doing things. It's usually girls, but this time decided to do a boy one. And there's another show that's actually very similar to it called – Chronicles of the Going Home Club, which I did review on Boston Masquerade a while ago, but this I don't know if there's any relation other than the fact that Square Enix has something to do with both of those shows, but and then maybe the manga that it was inspired the anime, but it's kind of a supposedly a it claims it's a parody of it, and it parodies itself quite often because, like, later on in the show there's like a segment called Funky High School Girls, and those girls are completely insane. But it's usually just these kids doing weird ass things. Like, they got curious and decided to try on girls' school uniform and complete with bra and panties.
They got curious and decided, what the hell?
Yeah, they're like short skits that are only about 5 minutes long each, and like the episode's 24 minutes long, so they're like at least 4 skits at each show.
I mean, to each their own, but like I've never gotten curious as a boy and wanted to try on like schoolgirl clothes.
Yeah, I think that particular skit ends up with them just about getting beat up the shit by the boy's sister.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a fun show. It's like, if you want people just shooting the shit and acting like complete idiots, then without it being super gross, then you could check out a show like this. But it ends as pretty much ridiculous as it starts, because you think it's going to be serious, and it's like, oh no, it's just okay. Because it doesn't need to be watched in any particular order, although you probably do need to watch the first and the last episodes as the first and the last episodes. Although they do make connections to previous episodes, but you can watch it in a way where you're like, watch this one, and then, oh, that's what they were talking about when you watch the episode that stuff actually happened in. But I'm going to give it a 7, I guess. But as for Anohana, the flower we saw that day, it's a drama, and it's actually kind of depressing. It's about a boy who has basically become a shut-in. I don't know. The show doesn't explain why he becomes a shut-in, because apparently once he entered high school, he just stopped going to school. And he's in a particular funk. And but it does have something to do with his past. Basically, him and his group of friends as elementary school kids were playing with one of their friends, and she died that day because I think she like fell off a bridge and conked her head or something, or drowned or something. I don't know. They didn't really explain it, but she died somehow. But they give you hints, but it's not. It's still kind of vague. But anyway, supposedly he believes that in his shut-in delirium that the spirit of this girl who died can see and interact with him, but it actually is revealed that she's in fact a ghost. Mm-hmm. But you learn how over through the show how her death has actually affected all the other members of the group. One of the kids actually has become delusional and has invented a version of this girl in his head, and they had to kind of give him therapy. But they do eventually get back together, and they try to figure out how to send her back to heaven, and or at least that's what they believe, because they believe because this is Japan, and they believe in the whole reincarnation thing, because I suppose that these people are Shintoists or Buddhist. But so they're figuring out they could send her to heaven so she can be reincarnated. So they come up with a bunch of different ideas, and well, that's kind of how the show ends without spoiling too much. And it's just a touching show, and you will probably cry by the end like a baby. But I'm gonna give that one, and let's see, I'm probably gonna give it an 8.5. It's only like 11 episodes long. Wait, no, that was Daily Lives of High School Boys. I think this one's 12. I could be wrong though, but neither of these shows can be watched on Hulu for free anymore. You'll have to go to Crunchyroll to watch them. And Daily Lives of High School Boys and Anohana are both out of print. So good luck finding disc of those. You're pretty much the only options to watch on Crunchyroll. Unless you want to torrent it and be an illegal bastard.
So what do you give an Anohana?
I think I gave you the score already.
I don't remember it. What'd you give it, Eric? 8? Okay. All right. A couple of good ones to pick up and watch. I had the opportunity to see Finding Dory today. I took the family to see Finding Dory.
I don't know if I want to watch that.
The sequel to Finding Nemo, which is an absolutely fantastic Pixar movie. I'm not going to spoil too much of this. I mean, there's really not much to spoil. I thought it was more of the same, which isn't normally a bad thing. But in this case, I think it does detract a little bit from the show. It didn't differentiate itself that much from Finding Nemo. I don't know. I kind of didn't have the same joy watching this movie that I did watching Finding Nemo. I thought there were a lot of cute parts in this movie, but I think it's one notch down from Finding Nemo, which isn't saying much because Nemo is a great movie.
This is why I kind of don't want to see it, because it's like, oh, it's Ellen looking for her family.
Yeah, it's fine.
Let me tell you about my Finding Nemo experience.
Uh-oh.
I've never seen Finding Nemo.
What?
But I've but I've heard the movie many, many times.
Yeah, you gotta watch.
Working Game Crazy, they used to play it over in Hollywood Video, so I would hear the movie repeatedly. So I've heard everything of the movie, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, you gotta watch it at least once. Break.
I don't need to watch it. I've already heard the damn movie a million times.
Is Game Crazy just Hollywood Video's game store?
Yeah,
it pretty much was, but we were run independently. I mean, when I was the store manager,
I know Blockbuster's game store was like GameZone or something, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I forget what it was called, but when I was running my Game Crazy, like, I was completely independent from what was going on over at the Blockbuster, or Blockbuster Hollywood Video.
Yeah,
like that, they had their own manager, like he did his own thing, and like I ran my own store.
Yeah. Were they like right next to each other though?
No, it was in Hollywood Video.
Oh,
but just we had our own separate entrance. Yeah.
Yeah. I give Finding Dory, I think I gave Finding Nemo a 9 out of 10.
I thought it was more of an 8 myself.
Finding Dory, I give a 7.5. I think it's well worth watching.
Is it worth waiting for a Redbox or something?
I would see it on the big screen just because I like seeing all the pretty colors on the big screen like that. Like, you can't really... get
what about 3D? Is the 3D done okay?
I didn't see it in 3D, but I can imagine it'd be one of the best 3D movies just because of how colorful. I was even thinking that when I was in the theater, like it's very vibrant. It'd be worthwhile to see in 3D as well. But I liked it. I think it's worth seeing at the theater for sure. So 7.5 out of 10 for me. All right. Free for all. E3, what were some of the things that you guys liked, didn't like at E3? We'll start with you, Breakman.
We'll start with Eric.
All right.
Well, I didn't even pay attention to Ubisoft, EA, or Bethesda, so whatever. I did watch Sony's, and I liked most of what Sony did. I might be insane for saying this, but I'm actually interested in playing the space Call of Duty game.
Yeah, I am interested too.
It's doing things I didn't think the Call of Duty series would ever do.
Well, I think they started
Surprised it was a Call of Duty game. To be honest with you,
I want to get in the mech and I want to get in the space fighter.
Watching the preview, I was completely surprised to find out it was actually a Call of Duty game, because I was like, wow, this game looks really awesome.
I'm not dying to start to talk about E3. What are you talking about?
You were. Come on. You wanted to. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Yeah. Anyways. Excuse me. But I did like the Nintendo stream. I saw some footage of Dragon Quest 7. I can't wait till that game comes out. Eve Oasis was a nice surprise. I hope it ends up being a good game. But I also really am enjoying the look of Zelda. I don't know if it's going to be a good game. A lot of other people creaming their shits over it or whatever. But I am worried about the narrative and how they're going to handle it, because it sounds like it's going to be like Metal Gear Solid 5, where you could just do whatever and the story will be disconnected, and that's not good.
Yeah,
I was also a little leery about the fact that the game is using a stamina meter again, but it does seem to be the case where it doesn't take forever to recharge again.
Yeah, Mug.
And the durability of the weapons also bothered me, but you're getting pick up so much shit in that game, it won't even matter, I guess.
Yeah, Mug said he did not like the look of Zelda. I think he was smoking crack.
He's a graphics whore like Frank.
No, I'm not a graphics whore. I thought that game looked great. Like, there was nothing not to like about that game. Like, I didn't see anything that was horrible. So, you know. But
anyways, I don't know what Freak 5 Chaos is doing, but I don't think I want to check his DMs. Anyways, I also thought that Dead Stranding sounds interesting. It's just a fucking trailer, like so many goddamned E3 presentations and no gameplay. So I have no idea what it's about. It was just an announcement. But I'm always interested in what Kojima's doing.
Yeah. Death Stranding sounds good in itself, the name.
It sounds English, but apparently it's actual term that people use for beach whales. Hmm. Like dead whales versus live ones.
Yeah. I think that looked interesting. I don't know. Breakman, what'd you find interesting at E3?
I'm still interested in ReCore and Scalebound, but I didn't watch footage of that stuff. Oh, I'm welcome because he didn't send me the DM. Okay.
Hey, he says he sent it to me, but I'm not seeing one.
Yeah, I should put it like up on the screen.
Are you sure you didn't block him?
No, I definitely haven't blocked him. Like, I get his messages all the time. I don't know why I'm not getting it now. I reformatted my hard drive while we were sitting here.
Apparently, there's a website called thoughtsandprayersthegame.com. What the hell? I also was fine. I was actually kind of a little bit upset at the fact that Nintendo's released Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix for the 3DS as a stealth release. When you know no one's paying attention to the eShop because it's not Thursday, and it's a digital title, so already off the bat, some people are not going to want to buy it because they're that adamant about having physical releases. So, but Europe gets one, of course. Europe does. But, so yeah, that was kind of lame of them. $30 for a digital only game.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says
it's physical elsewhere.
Dungeon Buster says Scalebound stuff looked interesting. They showed off some of the co-op play. He says he can't wait for Dishonored 2. The Bethesda stuff, I thought it was interesting that they're working on a couple of games that are bigger than Skyrim, which is interesting. And we're not going to get another one of those type of games for a few years, the guy said. So that was,
say this about Zelda, though. I think Skyrim and pretty much any Elder Scrolls game that Bethesda makes is an unwieldy piece of shit, and I think Zelda's doing what Skyrim should be doing, and I think they could actually take lessons on. They're making the game more motionful and maybe concentrate way less on trying to make characters uncanny valley ugly looking.
I thought the God of War game looked interesting. It took me a little while to
bearded Kratos being voiced by Christopher Judge.
Yeah, it was a little weird, and, you know, speaking his time.
A lot of people are getting upset that it's not like the original. How conservative are you when it comes to video games? I mean, yeah. What the fuck? God of War games, two of them haven't been that good, and they're doing something different with it. And
I like how video games are growing up. Like, this is about Kratos and his son now. Like, this is... I mean, think about how many gamers have grown up.
I don't even care about the fact that he has a son. It's just I want God of War to do different things. Let's be honest. God of War games aren't that good to begin with. A lot of people just like the ultra violence, and that's it.
I thought they were good.
Just think about how many people have grown up from the original like God of War. Like those people, like they were kids then, and now they're adults, and maybe they have their kids of their own. Like I think like God of War has grown up with people, you know? I like that.
Right. I don't have any problem with that. I like the God of War games quite a bit. If I'm not playing an RPG, I'm playing a game like God of War. So
I would not be surprised if it's a complete reimagining and Kratos isn't even a ghost of Sparta anymore. He's just some dude.
Well, he's some dude, but he's in a different setting. It's like different gods. Like he already destroyed the Olympic gods. Now he's on to like the Norse gods. Apparently,
he has a son now. Now he's trying to be a father, not just
He's also old.
But he's not trying to be like the guy who's like necessarily fighting the gods. Like he has a child.
I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being like the god who was supposed to be Loki or something.
Yeah, it looks or gorgeous. Like
at some point, they kill his child to get him to go off and kill the gods again. Whatever.
Or he dies and the child's the new character.
No, that would be a horrible thing to do to that series. But I think it's
Or he doesn't die, but you're still the child character, only grown up now.
It looked good. My only complaint is they're kind of making it Skyrim-like now. That's the only thing. It looked way too aesthetically and gameplay-wise, I could see it going down that path.
That's one thing disturbed me about the whole first-person shooting games being shown at E3. It's like everybody's doing grappling hooks now because Mirror's Edge Callus has done it.
I did like
not like that's the first game to ever do grappling hooks,
because I don't like saying monkey see monkey do, because human beings are apes, so I really in terms of apes. Follow that ape.
Dungeon Buster brought up an interesting one, the Friday the 13th game. It looks awesome. That game looks great.
It looks ugly as shit, but it might be.
I haven't seen that one yet.
No, it looks awesome, man. It doesn't look ugly. It looks good, man.
I'm only basing the ugliness on the alpha, but who knows what it looks like now.
For an alpha, that shit looked good, man. Like, it looked really good for an alpha. I was really impressed, man.
I've never really been in the Friday the 13th. They're all terrible movies, but I think people like them because they're terrible.
That's not necessarily true, Eric. The first two were actually pretty good movies in their own right. Let's see. Viking Pantheon's going to be short-lived with Kratos nearby for sure.
Then he can kill all the Japanese gods in the next one.
although
they might have to completely reimagine it and just not have Kratos in that one, because I think having a Western dude in a Japanese setting would be just weird.
Yeah. So I'm excited for God of War game. I'm excited for anything.
Although if he's like a completely new Kratos, so they have to not call him Kratos, because I don't know too many Norwegians that had named Kratos.
Doesn't matter. He could still be called Kratos. The Friday the 13th game is interesting to me, Dungeon Buster. I don't know if you saw the alpha footage, but for alpha, I thought it looked really good. You're gonna be able to play different iterations of Jason. The only thing I don't like is they
Space Jason.
They really
kills everything.
They really didn't have a campaign. If they could add a campaign to that, and make it like most first-person shooters, it's not a first-person shooter, but if you could add a campaign to that game, I think it would be, I think that would be one of the games to get.
How about just please a complete recreation of the NES game?
No,
just
that.
Please tell me you don't have to fight him with stones. Like you pick up a little rock, like.
Oh man, that game was awful. I used to have that game.
No shit,
it was really bad.
Singular track of doo doo.
Yeah, I hated that shit, man. It was awful. And I saw somebody beat that game in like super quick, and I'm like, I never could beat that.
Yeah, I never beat that game. Like, I hated that game because every time I confront Jason, I have a rock or a knife. Like, oh, that he has a butcher knife. Oh, that's huge. Like, what? This isn't fair. Run away. Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah, in order to win that game, you got to get the. The pitchfork. If you can get the pitchfork, you can beat that game. But I don't know. It was just a bad.
Isn't that how he died in the movie?
Yeah, you have to get
the
pitchfork.
Second movie, I mean.
You have to get the pitchfork, and there's an easy way to get it. I think Kornchak did a really good playthrough of it. But Dungeon Buster says he has to look up the footage. But from what he've heard, people were impressed by how far Friday the 13th had come. Yeah, it's looking good. The alpha's looking really good, Dungeon Buster. I have really high hopes for that game. I'm just hoping that they can provide a single-player campaign.
I don't think I want to ever see Freak in a Speedo or anybody in a Speedo. Speedos are ugly.
Yeah, I don't – especially Freak. You don't want to see him in a Speedo. All right. Any other impressions of E3, Breakman, before we
– Oh, God. Let me see my impression.
Yeah, no, hold on, Eric. Let break, man. He has.
Let me see. We talked about a lot of them, but we didn't really talk that much about South Park. We did at the beginning, but we should talk about South Park.
Oh, South Park looks awesome, man.
That looks amazing. The new Mass Effect game, they haven't shown much about gameplay, but it looks like it's come along very well. Let me see here. The virtual reality stuff looks really cool,
too.
Yeah. Especially what Sony has going on.
Yep. That the Sony VR looks to be about the best of the bunch, in my opinion.
It looks like they finally found a way to make Star Wars Battlefront entertaining. Like they have some VR missions on that, and I'm like, ooh, that looks like fun. I
could care less about the VR because it's a device that's not going to be very inclusive, because some people are just not going to be able to play it because they'll either get sick or their eyes will start hurting. Or their head will
or it'll be too expensive to buy it,
Yeah, you'll probably need to get the Neo or whatever the fuck they're calling it to make the most use of it, and that's already going to be expensive, and then you're going to have to buy this expensive headgear on top of it.
I'm definitely interested in...
It's going to die like the fucking Kinect.
I'm definitely interested in the Neo for sure, because it's a little more powerful.
It's not like... Games aren't going to take advantage of it. They're doing it mainly for 4K support.
Yeah, no, which is fine. I mean, that's the natural progression of things. If it's like $50 more than the normal PS4, that's what I'm going to get.
Well, according to the pricing for the Xbox S or Scorpio, it's going to be $50 more than the current than the S will be, and the S will be $50 more than the. Than the price that they're setting it at, or the old ones at, which I think it's going to be $270, and I think the S will be $280.
Yeah, what?
And the other one will be like $300 or something.
What's the difference between the S and the Scorpio? Like, is there a
the
big
Scorpio's
the Scorpio's the VR?
Okay,
Scorpio is basically the answer to the Neo.
Okay,
yeah, the S is just a smaller version of the Xbox One.
Gotcha. So that's like
the Scorpio
slim.
Is the code name for their VR setup.
Okay,
which may or may not be as small as the S, but I don't know.
Yeah.
The other thing that I am really really excited for now that I've seen it and some of the action is the game other than South Park. The other game that I'm really looking for is. It's Crackdown 3.
Crackdown 3, yep. That's another one that looks good.
I love the Crackdown games, and now this one has heavily added into the destructibility of the environment. So it's sort of Crackdown meets Red Faction.
I do want to mention one thing that I saw Sony with their VR. They're putting out this ridiculous-looking gun that looks like Nintendo created it.
It looks worse than that. It looks like that attachment you could have gotten for your Wiimote back in the Wii days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I have that attachment. It's awful. But my I was wondering, like, the Vive, the thing that Freak brought up in chat, the HTC Vive virtual reality headset.
I'm not impressed in the Vive
have,
at all.
I am. I think it looks good. But I think that those controllers are a hell of a lot better than the Sony controller.
First of all, the Vive's not even VR. It's like augmented reality. It's a little different.
Well, I don't know. I think the VR stuff looks interesting. I'm halfway interested, as long as the price isn't... Like you said, way out of you know what the realm of possibility is. There's a lot of horror games. I can even see that Friday the 13th game being really good in VR.
I will say that I am interested in Natsume's. There is a game coming out in the summer. That'd be River City Tokyo Rumble. But they're also releasing. It doesn't look like a sequel to Wild Guns, but it's called Wild Guns Reloaded. They just took the SNES game, gave it 4-player, improved the visuals slightly. Everything else is still sprite-based, and I think – and they only improved the visuals in terms of the particle effects and frame rate.
Yeah. Freak says you
– I'll take that, even if it's not quite a sequel. On two new playable characters.
Yeah, what
Freak's – one's a dog riding on a robot.
What Freak's waiting for is the VR that allows multiple people in the same room. That's probably next step, Freak. I can see that happening real soon. I think that would be really, really cool. I don't know. I'm excited for the VR stuff. If only I'm a big horror fan, and I think that lends super, super well to horror games. Breakman, any other final impressions, E3, that you want to talk about?
Let me see here. It looks like they're going to add some cool features to Xbox Live, and I really like that they're going to have the customizable controller probably expensive, but that sounds kind of really cool to me. Like, make your own controller.
Yeah.
Any color you want.
You mean you could take face buttons off and put them elsewhere?
Is that what they mean? No, not like that. It's just color.
Programming.
Just color screens, basically. Oh. Let me see. What else did I write down here? Because I took some notes.
So you could make it look like a Super Nintendo controller.
No, not even close. Basically, it's still the same controller. It's just you can choose like the color of the buttons.
Oh, I want my
gates and stuff.
A button to be blue. Okay, I get it.
Pretty much. And let me see what else did I write down here. Gears 4, like I like the Gears franchise, but it looks like Gears. You know, like there's not it doesn't seem like the franchise is evolving that much.
Yeah, I mean, people want Garl and War to stay the same, but other people are complaining that Gears is just a near the Gears. It's like, okay, you people don't know what you want.
Yeah. Well, I know what I want. Like, I like Gears.
But I know you do. Some other people don't.
Right. I like Gears. I've always been a Gears War fan.
Yeah, I'm a Gears fan, and I'm not saying I won't play it. Like, I'll still play it.
I hate judgment, but I think that maybe Cliff Bleszinski's lack of presence in this title might actually make the game better. Because I think Bleszinski's a piece of shit. And a baby.
Tell us how you really feel, man. All right, Break.
That is how I really feel.
Breakman,
have you seen what he's done on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not going down that rabbit hole, man. Break, anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we covered
Final Fantasy 15. They showed a little bit of it. It looked fun, but it doesn't look like anything we haven't. It doesn't look like they showed anything we hadn't already seen before.
Hey, is Final Fantasy 15 going to be a proper Final Fantasy game, or is it going to be an MMO?
What do you mean by proper?
Like MMO? Is it going to be MMO, or is it going to be
They did. There are going to be VR features if you played on Sony. Like the Sony VR does have some gameplay additions to it.
A lot of people said that it kind of sucks. So don't.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But actually, my question about Final Fantasy is: are you basically just controlling one character in Final Fantasy?
In the actual game, I think you might be able to switch up the characters you play as.
Okay, like I was really confused by that. Like I saw other characters, but from the way the game looked, it looked like you were controlling just the main character, and everybody else was, you know, just with you.
Well, yeah, I think the demos just had you playing as Noctis, but I think you are allowed to play as the others.
Okay, that'd be cool.
All right, so overall, I think E3 was fine. Like I said, I think it's kind of dwindling down a little bit, but
I don't even think it's active anymore. I think everything's gone.
But
people
are
getting ready to go back home.
It ended Thursday.
Yeah.
I
think it was a successful show, for sure, especially on Sony's front. I thought Sony was really strong. Microsoft did okay.
I don't know why people are unhappy about what Microsoft did. Microsoft has showed game after game after game.
Yeah, I wasn't unhappy with them. I just thought Sony had a much stronger showing, man. Maybe it was just Sony had such a strong showing, it kind of took away from Microsoft, maybe. I don't know. And obviously, Nintendo wasn't really there.
If Microsoft wants to impress me, they need games that are more than just shooty mans and racing.
Yeah,
I don't know what Nintendo was trying to do.
Nothing. They're not big on E3, so, you know.
No, they know exactly what they're doing. There was ridiculous lines for Zelda, and that's why they only put one game on the show floor. They had more than just Zelda. It's just it was just like two other kiosks and pretty much everything else for Zelda.
I guess it's they realized like that's the only thing they have left for the Wii U, and let's sell that, and then we're gonna start moving on to our next system.
Even though which it's actually the NX Switch is where you should be eyeing it anyways, because the NX is gonna be a more powerful system, so it's gonna look better.
I'm surprised we didn't actually hear anything about the NX.
I'm excited for all the systems. NX, I'm excited for the Neo.
They're not going to talk about it at E3 because they want people. They want to sell people on Zelda. That's why.
Mm. Gotcha.
All right, guys. I think that's going to wrap it up. I don't think I have anything else on E3. I thought it was a good show, but, you know, whatever. Eric, plugs, please.
You could find my reviews at sites like VogNetwork.com, MonsterBastardBrigade.com, TotallyGen.com, GameTactics.com, and HonestGamers.com. And you can find my YouTube page, FunnyTman. And on Twitter, I'm at EricRPG. And that's it.
All right, Break, your plugs.
Break underscore man and at RP Grinders.
Yeah, make sure you text or tweet us. We'll be more than happy to get your tweet on the air. Mm. Try to get into. Yeah. Go ahead.
Something that doesn't involve us, you know, having.
Please tell us what happened to Moria. I'm kind of worried now.
What's that?
I'm worried that Moria hasn't contacted us.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Moria. That you know, probably sex orgy came up on his phone. He had to get out of town. But all right. Make sure you check me out at Frank Branch.
Maybe he was whisked away by the family boat trip or whatever the fuck you were talking about.
Make sure you check out me on Twitter at Frank Branches. I say stupid shit on Twitter. Freak says Monday we will be recording episode 50 of Zombies Anonymous. Make sure you check that show out. So in my mind, Freak, I think it's sort of a spiritual successor to DMT. Every time I hear Zombie Anonymous, I think of that. But it's a good show. You guys should check it out.
It's not a 12-step program either. So
no, it's definitely not it's a 12-step. Yeah. Check out Finding Dory. I recommend seeing that theater. It's a fun movie, good family movie, lighthearted fun. And check out Wherewithal. That's the show I do with Whiffix from time to time. We have a good time on there talking a lot of horror things, a lot of werewolf type shit. So check that out if you like horror. So there you go. And congratulations, Freak, on episode 50 of ZA. We're about a month and a half away from episode 400 on RP Grinders, which is going to be a huge milestone. So I think that's about it for this week, guys. I don't think we have anything else. Stay safe this weekend. We want to make sure you're back here next week. Until then, we're out. Take care, guys.